ധ്യായാമോ ധവളാവകുണ്ഡനവതീം തേജോമയീം നൈഷ്ടികീം സ്നിഗ്ധാപാംഗവിലോകിനീം ഭഗവതീം മന്ദസ്മിതശ്രീമുഖീം വാത്സല്യാമൃതഭക്ഷിണീം സുമധുരം സങ്കീർത്തനാലാപിനീം ശ്യാമാംഗീമദസിക്തസൂക്തിം അമൃതാനന്ദാത്മികാമീശ്വരീം. We are discussing the 1000 names of Devi as found in Lalita Sahasranama. Since we didn't have this for a few days, so before we enter into the Namas, let's try to focus on Brahman, on Devi as Nirguna Brahman. So life consists of various goals to be achieved. So the current day HR people split the goal or goals that a person can achieve in the world as two. So one is called short term goal and the second is called long term goal. So short term and long term. So short term goals keep on changing, but long term goals don't change. So my long term goal is to become a millionaire. My short term goal is for this weekend going to Las Vegas or Los Angeles. So that is my short term goal. Going to LV or LA, that is a short term goal, temporary goal for this weekend. For the next weekend it is somewhere else, San Ramon or SFO, San Francisco. So short term goals change, whereas long term goal doesn't change. So that is how current day HR people, HR as well as people who are involved in public relations, it's not public relations, but people who try to encourage trainees or new recruits, so they say it that way. Resource management, we can say, but from time immemorial, like we can find even in the scriptures, oldest scripture, Ishavasya Upanishad, which is one of the oldest scriptures. So even there, among other Brihadaranyaka Upanishad and etc., we find the rishis or the spiritual scientists, as Chinmayananda says. So those spiritual scientists have tried to find out as to what is the goal of life. So as per them, and those scientists are also called as Vedantins. The philosophy is called Vedanta. So they found out that long term goal, there is now nothing called long term and short term. Goal is just one, and the goal is not different for different people. Everybody is seeking just one goal. It is one goal that is being sought out. So irrespective of caste, irrespective of creed, irrespective of religion, irrespective of money, irrespective of fame, so irrespective of all distinctions, everybody is seeking just one goal, and that one goal is what is common in short term and long term goal as per management people. So why do I want the short term goal? Why do I want to go to Las Vegas? Why do I want to go to San Francisco? Why do I want to go to New York? The goal is because if I go to New York, I'll have a good time. Why do I need a good time? If I get a good time, then I'll be happy. So it is happiness that is the basis for short-term goal, what is the basis for long-term goal? My long-term goal is to become a millionaire. Why do you want to become a millionaire? Because then, like, I can live a very peaceful and happy life. Again, happiness are the same thing. Sachin Tendulkar, why do you want to play well in cricket? Because that gives me peace, that gives me happiness. Michael Schumacher, why do you want to drive? Because that gives me happiness. Kamala Hassan, why do you want to act? Why is your long-term goal acting different roles, acting 10 different roles? Why? Because that gives me happiness. Oh, it's only for Indians, it's not for Al Pacino. Al Pacino also, why does Al Pacino still act? Because he gets happiness, or he wants to get happiness out of acting. So the goal of life can be encompassed in just one word, happiness. So happiness also can be split into two. One is temporary and one is permanent. So temporary can be called Vishaya-anandam. Vishaya-anandam are like different types of anandam, or better, the temporary happiness can be called as Ananda-abhasam or Ananda-vritti. Reflection of anandam, reflection of real anandam, whereas permanent happiness can be called as anandam or brahmanandam, atmanandam or anandam in general itself. So what is temporary anandam and what is permanent anandam? Temporary anandam is anandam that a person gets in the mind. Anandam that a person gets from the as a result of Atman and its Anandam's reflection. So any reflection is temporary. So the happiness that we get out of worldly objects, the happiness that we get out of a mental state, all those are temporary Anandam. Why? So the object itself is temporary. So happiness also has to be temporary. Mental state, mind itself is temporary. It keeps on changing. The state of the mind constantly changes. So that means the happiness which comes out of the state of the mind also has to be temporary. And how is it reflection of the self? Because there is only one entity which can really give happiness, and that is the self. So how does reflection happen? When we see something in front of us, we see our father in front of us, so immediately the father gets captured in our mind. And when father gets captured in our mind, we term him as my father. As a result of that, my father, I am very attached to my father. Very attached means I become one with the father. So the more I see my father in front of me, I become one with my father. I become identified with my father. That state of identification, that in turn like makes the mind, or takes the mind into a mindless state. If I'm identified with my father, where does the mental thought come? Where the mental thought doesn't come. There is no mental thought and thinker. Thought and thinker merge. So who is the thinker? The thinker is Atman. Thinker is in fact Atman. So Atman becomes one with the thought. And that is why it is called reflection of Anandam. The Atman's happiness comes, but the Vayu Rodhanat Liyate Mana Jala Pakshivat Rodha Sadhanam. Laya Vinashane Ubhaya Rodhane Laya Gatam Punar Bhavati Numritam. There are two ways to control the mind. One is Layam, when the thoughts of the mind merge onto the thinker, temporarily vanishes. And the second is complete destruction. The first is when we get happiness, that is reflection of the Atman. The Atman's happiness limited by the father. So that also gets happiness. We get happiness, like I see my father, I get identified with my father, but I don't get identified with the self. I get identified with the father. So that means I become the father. So the thinker is there, thinker of self is there, but we don't acknowledge the thinker of self. We acknowledge the thinker who is now one with father, and that gives a reflective happiness, temporary happiness. But ultimate happiness is the happiness derived out of the self. So all happiness, whether it is temporary or eternal, is derived from the self, from our inner self, from that consciousness which is unlimited. How is it unlimited? Even as the dreamer, is the entire dream world similarly the self? The waker in the waking state, he is the substratum of the entire waking world. But now it is identified with the body, with the mind, with the ego. And when that identification vanishes, it becomes unlimited. And that unlimited consciousness, which is the basis for the entire world, upon which duality in the form of Namarupam is superimposed, that is termed as Brahman, Devi, Ishvara, Paramatman, etc. And that entity is unlimited, which means the happiness derived from it is also going to be unlimited. So that happiness, unlimited happiness, which is the goal of all beings, that is present in that entity, that Brahman. And that Brahman is not different from the consciousness which pulsates, pure consciousness which pulsates each minute of our life as I exist, I exist. It is that consciousness. And since it is the I in us, the pure I in us, it means it is very easy to realize, because it is our own very nature, very self. So if somebody says, okay, you cannot realize in this birth, then we can immediately say, no, I can realize. Why? Because it is my own self. I can realize is different from I will realize. So I can realize. So I have a bottle of water in front of me. I can drink water out of the bottle. I cannot say I will drink. There's a difference between both. I can drink. I can drink means there itself, there is a possibility of drinking or not drinking. Whereas I will drink means there is only one possibility. So what is, even though the self is our own very nature, we have to put effort. We should say, I will realize. We have to make that I can realize to I will realize. Only that can give, that can fulfill the goal of life, which is Parama Anandam, ever happy state, ever blissful state, ever peaceful state, the state where a person feels complete. A state where a person feels that I don't need anything else to do in life. So that state can be achieved when we convert the can to will. The way to convert the can to will is constantly contemplating on that entity, on Brahman, on Devi. So constant contemplation amidst worldly activities is not possible for normal or initial seekers. Therefore, a person has to dedicate some amount of time thinking about Brahman. So, if a person is able to think about Brahman alone for 1 hour, then in a day, for 2 hours, the thought of Brahman will be there with him even when he does worldly activities. So if a person is able to initially do sadhana for 4 or 5 hours, contemplating only on Brahman, focusing only on Brahman, then for the next 12, 13 hours, the thought of Brahman will remain in the mind. And once the seeker progresses, then it will become a habit. It will become an addiction wherein the seeker is always focused on Brahman, whatever be the activity that happens. And that this contemplation of Brahman by sadhana, it itself becomes a vasana. Vasana dvividha prokta. Shuddha malina cha tatha. Shuddha punarjanmakari. Sorry. Malina punarjanmakari. Shuddha janma vinashini. So Yoga Vasishta says vasana is split into two. One is Shuddha vasana, pure vasana. Malina vasana, pure vasana. Shuddha vasana, pure vasana. Janma vinashini, it takes us beyond birth, it takes us beyond sorrow, it makes us blissful. Whereas impure vasana, punarjanma kari, it leads to punarjanmam, punarapi jananam, punarapi maranam, punarapi janani, jatare shayanam. That is impure vasana. Iha samsare bahudustare kripaya pare pahi murare. Pahi, that surrender to Brahman, contemplation of Brahman, that is anything that helps in contemplation of Brahman, contemplation of Brahman, and anything that helps in contemplation of Brahman, that is Shuddha Vasana. So when we do sadhana, sadhanas are Shuddha Vasana. So Ramakrishna Paramahamsa used to say, sadhanas are like gold chain. So they are also bondages. There will be a time when a seeker will have to get rid of even Shuddha Vasana. But rather than he himself giving up Shuddha Vasana should automatically fall off. Else, Shunam Tattva Drisham Chaiva Ko Bhedo Ashuchi Bhakshane. Else a person will think that he is realized and he will behave like a dog. So that if that shouldn't happen, then Shuddha Vasana should automatically drop off like a ripe fruit, automatically dropping off from a tree. So the Shuddha Vasana of sadhana as well as contemplation of Brahman, contemplation of Devi, wherever we are, whatever we are doing, that will convert the can to will. And not only just it will convert the can to will, it will make the will in this birth itself. And if the conviction is more strong, then that will become now. And that is why it is called Sadhyo Mukti or Jivan Mukti. Sadhyo Mukti, now Mukti. So if that has to happen, we have to focus on Ishvara. We have to do lot of sadhana to remember Ishvara. And the easiest way to remember Ishvara is by considering Ishvara as having a form and doing sadhana, worship to the form. The best way of worshipping a form is in the form of chanting. One of the best ways is chanting. And that is what we are trying to accomplish through learning of Lalita Sahasranama. Rather than making Lalita Sahasranama a mechanical process, when we know as to what each of the 1000 names of Devi mean, then we will be able to remember Brahman, contemplation of Brahman, contemplation of that entity which can give us, which can fulfill our goal, fulfill the goal of life. So that will happen. So that will be achieved through knowing the names while chanting the names. So that is what we are trying to do in learning the 1000 names of Devi. So remembering that, let's see the next 5 namas. starting from the 296th nama till the 300th nama. Each of these namas speak about Devi, Devi as Nirguna Brahman, Devi as that Brahman who can give us Anandam. And what is the nature of that Brahman? We already discussed that the nature of that Brahman is Anandam. It is the substratum of the world. So those are being explained through various names. So Om Anadi Nidana Yai Namaha. Nidana. Devi is the treasure, that treasure which is Anadi. So Anadi means without any starting. So Anadi means Anandam also has to be added, without any beginning and end. So Brahman is blissful because it is without beginning and end. It has no beginning and it has no end because it is not temporary. It is eternal. It is always there. Sadeva saumya idam agre asit ekameva dvitiyam. It was there before creation. It is there during creation. It will be there after creation as well. Ahameva asameva agre nanyat kinchan mishat. So Ahameva Asameva Agre. So Bhagavatam, Chatushloki Bhagavatam speaks about this. So Ahameva Asameva Agre. Like I alone was there before creation. Nothing was there other than me, moving or immoving. And now also that is the same. And when creation ends, Yo Avashishyeta Sosmyaham, whatever will remain behind, that is also me alone. That is also Devi, that is also Brahman. So how is this possible? This is possible because Om Nama Rupa Vivarjitayai Namaha. So last Nama of the day is Nama Rupa Vivarjita. That is possible because Devi is without Nama Rupam. That which is with a Nama Rupam has a beginning and it has an end. It is limited, whereas Devi is without Nama Rupam. So whatever Nama Rupam is seen, that is seen in Devi. Therefore, it is Anadi Nidana. Therefore, Devi is without any beginning and end because she is not Nama Rupam. And when we try to remember that Devi is without Anadi, without any beginning and end, without any Adi and end, then we will be able to realize, we will be able to go beyond duality by knowing that all Namarupam is Devi, which means there is no Namarupam at all. So whatever we see will become Devi. Yadunna kaangiladu Narayana pradima, yadunna kelkiladu Narayana shrutigal, yadunna cheyikiladu Narayana archanagal, yadunna daagiladu Narayanaaya nama. Yadunna kaangiladu Narayana pratima, whatever I see is Narayana's pratima. Yadunna kelkiladu Narayana shrutigal, whatever I hear is praise of Narayana. Yadunna cheyikiladu Narayana archanagal, whatever I do is archana for Narayana. Yadunna daagiladu Narayanaaya nama, whatever is there, that is Narayana alone. So when we know that Devi is without Namarupam, that itself means Devi is Namarupam. And like the Namarupam is only Mithya in Devi. Devi is Namarupam as a substratum. And then we will be able to go beyond duality. We will be able to go beyond the faults of duality, which is Ragadvesham, and which will lead us to Dukkham. So remembering Devi alone is not enough. Remembering Devi as blissful. Blissful. Why blissful? Because Anadi. Why Anadi? Because Nama Rupa Vivarjitam. How Nama Rupa Vivarjitam? Because everything is Devi. Everything is just a mithya. Just an illusion of names and forms in Devi. Everything is Devi. So remembering Devi as all pervasive, as the only reality present, that will take us beyond Nama Rupam. That will fulfill the goal of our life, which is by giving us Anandam. And oh, why should I worship this? I don't want anandam. I just want like normal happiness. But temporary happiness is enough for me. If Bill Gates doesn't worship Devi, if Bill Gates doesn't is not a Vedantin, then why should I be? If George Bush is not a Vedantin, why should I be? If Manmohan Singh is not a Vedantin, why should I be? So, why should I be? Om Hari Brahmendra Sevitayai Namaha. Because Devi is worshipped by Hari Brahma Indra, Vishnu Brahma and Indra. So Devi is worshipped by all Devata, Sura Aradite, Sura Pujite, worshipped by all Devatas. So these Devatas are not normal Devatas, Vishnu, Brahma, Indra. So they are much greater than Bill Gates or George Bush. So if these people, these great people are worshipping Devi, then definitely we have to worship. And the very reason these people worship itself means that if we worship Devi, then these Devatas also will worship us. Oh, if I worship Devi, will Bill Gates worship me? Why do you need Bill Gates? You have Vishnu worshipping you. Bill Gates is limited, he is temporary, but Vishnu has a greater reach. Vishnu will protect you. Why? Because I am a worshipper of Devi and Vishnu is also a worshipper of Devi. We both have common, so Vishnu will help me out. So when two fans of the same celebrity, they meet, they try to help each other. And two devotees of Amma meet, they try to help each other. Why? Because they both are devotees of Amma. So just that aspect itself will help us. And of course, Vishnu has greater power than us, so we may not be able to help Vishnu, but Vishnu will definitely be able to help us. Brahma will be able to help us. Indra will be able to help us. Vishnu will be able to help us by giving us protection at all times. Brahma will be able to help us by giving us, creating whatever we need in life, whatever necessities we have in life, for worldly life, he will give it. And Indra will ensure that we have power. We have the person who is controlling things behind us to ensure that everything that we undertake is controlled. So if that is the case, then is Devi one with Vishnu? Of course. Om Narayane Namaha. Narayani. So Devi is Narayana only. Devi is Vishnu, then why did you say Vishnu, Brahma and all worship? Okay, Vishnu, Brahma and all worship. Vishnu worships. Devi is Vishnu by being the substratum in Vishnu, the consciousness in Vishnu. That is how Devi is Vishnu. So Devi is not just Vishnu. Devi is everything. Everything that we see is Devi alone. Punnilam madarashai Purundinar purundar ullam tannil antarathil shiva. So Kaivalya Navaneetam says, antarathil shiva, antarathil, in the mind, ullam tannil antarathil. So ullam tannil, in the mind, inside the mind, antarathil, deep inside the mind, inside the cave of the mind, shiva, it is consciousness. And Purundinar Purundar, Ajnanis as well as Jnanis. So Devi Charachara Jagannatha, Charachara Rupini, we can say. So Devi is everything. So Narayana is also Devi, we are also Devi, Bill Gates is also Devi. At the worldly level, Bill Gates may not demonstrate Devi in the best way. So we have a 0 watt bulb in our house, we have a 10 watt bulb, we have a 100 watt bulb, we have a tube light. Electricity is there in each of those. Each of those is only electricity, but still, electricity, the manifestation of electricity is different for each of those, depending on the watt. Similarly, Bill Gates doesn't manifest Devi in the best possible way. Vishnu is a worshipper of Devi. Vishnu is a devotee of Devi. Tesham jnani eka bhaktir vishishyate. So priyo hi jnanino atyartam aham sacha mama priyaha. Jnani tu atmaiva me matam. Jnani is me alone. Of all devotees, the jnani who is worshipping me as me, who is worshipping me as saying that I am Devi, everything is Devi, one who is worshipping Devi as Advitiya Satyam, such a person is a jnani, he is the greatest devotee, he is me alone, O Arjuna, jnani tu atmaiva me matam, jnani is my own self, jnani is me alone, O Arjuna. So Vishnu is a worshipper of Devi, he is a jnani, which means he is one with Devi. So he is one with Devi, but he can also help us whenever we need help at the Vyavaharika level. Even as when we are dreaming, so we take a character in dream, and in the dream also Amma comes in dream. So Amma also comes in dream. So Amma is also me, I am also me. But still Amma helps me out. So everything is me, then why not I help myself? If the, at the dream level, the differences are there, amidst those differences, people who manifest more of that conscious principle, they can help out. So Vishnu manifests divinity more, therefore he can help us out. So Narayani, Devi is Narayana, Devi is everything. So there is another meaning, word meaning for Narayana. So Narayana means like one who is, Narayana is one who is abiding in knowledge. So Devi is Narayani because Devi is knowledge itself. Devi's very nature is Jnanam. Devi's very nature is knowledge. Therefore she is also Narayani. And Om Nadarupaye Namaha. Nadarupini. Whatever sound, whatever words come, whatever vibration is there, that is also Devi. So vibration or nadam. So pranan itself is a vibration. So pranan, how prana starts, prana or mukhya prana is also Brahman. So Brahman, how, not sorry, not Brahman, Brahma. So the prana, collective prana can also be called as Brahma or Mahatattva, Mahanatma, Ahankaram, Mahankaram. So vibration, the sea, beneath the sea everything is calm. So the pendulum is in a calm position, so start a vibration. So where does the vibration come from? The vibration comes from the pendulum itself. Similarly, vibration or nadarupam, vibration comes from Devi alone. The vibration is what later becomes the world. So vibration is what becomes the world. So Devi is vibration. Devi is that vibration which is the cause of the world. It sustains the world. Prana sustains our life. Prana sustains our empirical life. Whereas prana itself happens out of Devi. Therefore Devi is prana. Devi is prana. And this prana is what is the first nama rupam. And Devi, Hayagriva doesn't want any confusion, so he says prana is Devi, that means nama rupam is Devi. But though Devi is nama rupam is also Devi, but essentially Devi is nama rupa vivarjita, without any nama rupam. And if we remember these meanings, the meanings of this nama, then when we chant this nama, we will remember that everything is Devi. There is no duality here. Whatever duality is there, nama rupam is in Devi. Just remembering that at all times, wherever I am, whatever I am doing, yogaratova, bhogaratova, sangaratova, sangavihinah, whatever is being done, yogam, bhogam, sangam, sangavihinam, everything, if we remember this, then the ultimate goal, the only goal of life, which is Anandam, will be fulfilled. May Amma bless us so that day may come very soon. Namaskar.